Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. When I sing that song, my mind always goes to the verse. I believe it's in 1 Timothy. He says that even when I am faithless, you are faithful because you cannot deny yourself. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in pity and despair and fear and anxiety, but that does not change the character of God, does it? God is still faithful to do exactly what He said. Amen. It is a delight to be here today, but it is so wonderful because we have some people here, and Treva's already introduced her brother and sister-in-law, but we have Vince Vine back with us today, and that's such an honor. What an amazing thing. And he is now a Green Beret, so don't try anything. We also have a young lady here that I have known all her life, or almost all of her life, and it's April Woods, and it's just a delight to have her. And she's still as pretty today as she was when she's a teenager, and that's Pam and Ronnie's daughters. Most of you don't know her. It's the first time she's ever been in church with us, but thanks for coming. We really appreciate having you here. I'm going to ask Dale to come up, and he's going to talk about a couple of things. But this Thursday night, we're going to have the community service at 218, Church of God of Prophecy, just almost in our backyard down here. It's 6:30 on Thursday, and I will be the speaker that night. So it'll probably be a one-time shot. You know, I got a feeling once I speak once, they probably won't invite me again. Also, Everett Yoder, I don't know if you have noticed that we have a new patio table and chairs out there on the patio area, but he has donated a patio table to us for us to use for a year. And I told him that we would tell everybody where we got it from. He runs and actually owns 28, no, is it? Highway 54 Lawn and Garden, and he's just comes here on Thursday night for post, and some of you don't even know about that, but maybe you need to come out. Also, I haven't seen him yet, but I think I saw Trudy. There they are, right in the middle where they always sit. Trudy changed her last name last week, and so she is now a Denham instead of a Swanson. So we want to say congratulations to the married couple. And then just a couple of not sad, a couple of transitional things is got a call today from Donna Emerson, and they think that Danny may be right towards the end of his life. And also David Love and Candy Love, his dad, who I think is about 93 years old, has went home and chosen to pass away at home. Through hospice, and so both are people of God. So it's not sad, it's a celebration that they're getting ready to go before you. And at least that's what we think. And so, but we do want to pray for the families. It is a very difficult transition. Where is Dale at? Well, praise the Lord. It's the Lord's business whether he goes home this week or when. So Brother Dale, let's see. You got a mic anywhere? Here, use Trevis.
All right. Man, as I was listening to worship this morning and worshiping God, it was amazing, and I was overcome. How good is our worship team? Give it up for them. But as I was listening to worship, I had to think about what happened yesterday. And I'm going to read this parable to you real quick. Luke 15 talks about when Jesus was with the tax collectors and sinners, he drew near to him. The Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. And so yesterday, as we went out in the streets, there was a young lady that gave her heart to the Lord and got saved.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
And so as I was singing, as I was worshiping this morning, I just had to keep thinking over and over. That was 10 million times more of what was going on in heaven yesterday over that one person. So even if there's just one person that got touched and gave their heart to the Lord, it was absolutely worth it. There was so many different moments, so many different testimonies. My brother that's sitting over here, I love dearly, and I've gotten to walk with him through life this last year and a half, Brother Tevin, and he was on our team, and I think he knew every single person that we went to, every house. There was literally a God moment at every house that we went to. It was somebody that he used to run with in the past, and then to see what he's come through is just absolutely amazing. And I love that man, and I know that God has a big purpose and a big plan for his life. And that's just right. To show what God can do when we say yes.
Absolutely right.
The first house we went to, the lady wasn't home, and he saw the kids, I think, and he's like, hey, this is so-and-so's house. And so we got done there, prayed with them, and we started walking down the street a little bit, and a car had pulled up and was just parked there beside the road. I think they saw us and were like just wanting to stay back a little bit. So we walked over. She had her window down, and we walked over and started talking to him and talking to her. And she didn't need prayer for anything. And but as we kept talking and talking, she finally was like, "Yeah, she'd be okay if we prayed over." She's like, "Do you want me to get out?" I was like, "Well, yeah, it's up to you." So she hops out, and we talked probably for a good 5 minutes. And as we continued to talk, and we prayed with her, and then we talked some more. And then I just asked her, I said, "Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life?" And she's like, "No." I said, "Well, would you like to do that right now?" And she's like, "Absolutely." And so it was an awesome moment. And all the other houses that we went to, same thing, just more and more. The one lady said that she had just been praying last night that she wants to stay close to God, and that she doesn't want God to forget her. And then we showed up at her door, and she's like, this is just confirmation for her. It was super powerful. And then the last one that I remember specifically was, so we were at the lady's house, and again, she knew Tevin. She's like, "Hey, did you see my sister?" And she's like, "No, where's she at?" And she lived next door. So we went to see her as well, and her son, I don't remember how old he was, maybe 9, had come out, and he was super shy. He didn't want to stand with us. He didn't want to pray or anything. And but we got in a circle and we prayed over them, and she knows the Lord, and she's just wanting to have people to fellowship with and stuff as well. So we got her connected with different stuff, and it's super awesome. But as we prayed, as soon as we were done praying, her little son looks up at Pastor Everett that was with us as well, and he said, "When you were praying, I felt the ground shake," and he said, "It was unstable. I felt unstable, like I was going to fall over." And after that, he was a totally different kid. He was vibrant and talking, and he was real happy. So, I don't know. It was just amazing. It's like if you don't see God move in that situation, then
that's right.
You're not looking. So, appreciate everybody that came out and helped and supported. It was really amazing. And if you don't feel worthy to go, that's because none of us are. But when we go, the Lord gives us the power and the strength that we need to do it at that moment.
That's right.
Amen. Love all of you.
We're going to pray in just a second, but I want you to remember Brother and Sister Thomas. Brother Thomas is in the hospital, probably will be going to a rehab tomorrow. Sister Thomas has a blood clot in her leg. Jerry Westerman was taken to ER last night, and blood pressure going crazy. Danny Emerson, of course. There's a friend of mine from years ago, Rex Mason, who's in pretty bad shape. And then Brother Paul Lauer, he had a stroke last week, of which I think he's doing fine, but just pray for his continual touch. And there's many, many other needs. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. We're going to read this. I titled it, Living Godly to the End. Living Godly to the End. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I always say the piano does also. So, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak at the oracles of God, as of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you have been made a partaker of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Father God, we just come before You today. Lord, just, man, my heart is just so filled with excitement and with goodness and grace and love and all the things, Lord, that You have just sort of packed in me this week. God, I'm grateful, Lord, to be able to stand before this people and preach Your Word and pray with all my heart that Christ be glorified in this place. God, we are not looking for the applause of men, but Lord, we want to see the person of Christ be glorified, be lifted up. You said that if we'll lift You up, You'll draw all men near. So God, help us today. Give us Your words. Give us the insight that we need. And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would be unleashed in this service, God, just to minister. Lord, only He can take one message and make it 200 messages. Only He can speak to every individual heart and address every need of that heart. There is no man that is able to do that. But there is a God in heaven who knows us so well that He is able to take the Word and divide it severally as He will and touch our lives and glorify Christ in the meantime. God, we humbly, Lord, accept what You have today in this service and anxiously look forward to the coming of Christ. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, for You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can't get past this first line, guys. But the end of all things is at hand. And I just want to start with some apologies, possibly, and some understanding. Number one, I'm not an end time preacher. God's never really called me to be that. I'm just trying to get you home safely and get the body of Christ matured. That's really, since I was a kid, that's all that I've ever felt like I was to do, is help the pastor to mature the body. Then I became the pastor. That was a shock to everybody. Second of all, we don't divide on end time doctrine. Hear me? It's not a place to divide, because truthfully, we don't know. There are verses that you could take this way or that way, and so my best knowledge for you would be just walk close to Christ, and whatever happens, happens, and He'll get us through, right? Now, I will tell you what I think, what the Assemblies of God believe, and I believe it wholeheartedly, but if you disagree, we don't divide over that. And I don't need to know where you disagree with me. Okay? You know, there's 150, 160 of you here today, and we ain't got time to tell you, or you to tell me wherever I've messed up. So you just hold that to yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to me. And even Dale and I was talking this week about the second coming of Christ just a little bit, and he said, you know, he showed me, well, we've never been taught that. And so that excited me, because now I get to share with him the truth. So I'm like, I think the very first thing you have to ask yourself is this. Peter spoke this in about A.D. 60. 1960 years ago, Peter said, the end is at hand. Did he miss it? Well, I don't believe he did. Because this book wasn't written by Peter. It was written by the Holy Ghost, which is God. I don't believe that there is a mistake in this thing. I believe every word is true. But I believe that, you know, we'll read a scripture that says the day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. And so we are living in the time of grace, of which we are thankful, every one of us. But if Peter said 1,960 years ago, the end is at hand, I'm going to tell you, today, the end's at hand, right? And even if it doesn't play out the way you and I think about it, the end may be at hand for you or for me. We don't know. We're not promised this long life. Some of the precious people I know have died young. And it always breaks our heart, right? But I think if we will learn to live every day of our life like Christ is coming back, we'll live a more godly life. I've been reading a little bit out of J. Vernon McGee, which was a Presbyterian. He passed away a few years ago. He used to preach on the radio all the time, probably still does. And he said this, he said, one of the things I love about the Pentecost, he says, they brought the message of holiness back to the church. And I thought, wow, what an honor for that to be said about us. And so I think, personally, I think that we have moved a little bit away from that message. And I think the Lord is bringing that message. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, the message of holiness is a message of separation. It's time for us to come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. And so that's what we're preaching. Peter knew that Jesus had prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and yet it had not been destroyed yet. It was destroyed a few years later, probably about 5 or 6 years later. Nero burned Jerusalem down and blamed it on the Christians. He knew that the world was supposed to be evangelized, and it was being evangelized, but it probably hadn't been through the whole world. And yet he still said, it's imminent. The end is at hand. Can you imagine telling the early church that and believing it with all your heart? I mean, he didn't just write this because he thought, well, this might stir him up a little bit. He wrote this because he was inspired by the Holy Ghost and he was writing truth. And I believe that I'm going to see the coming of Jesus. I just believe that with all my heart. And what a day that will be. In 2 Peter, he says in chapter 3, he says, beloved, do not think this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. And that's the blessing. The Lord is patient, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why is the Lord delaying his coming? For your daughter to get saved, for your granddaughter, and possibly for you to come into the kingdom of God. The Lord has delayed it because of his mercy and his patience and his grace. He could have come back any time. In Luke chapter 21, this is the writing of Christ. He said, take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life. So in other words, Jesus says, don't do that. I think that's a message for the church today. Would you quit your carousing? Quit your drunkenness. Hallelujah, Pastor. Good way to go. You just keep preaching that. And the cares of this life, which the Bible says, choke off the word. He says that the day comes for you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now this church believes in the rapture of the church, a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Some people don't understand that there's a difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. But it's pretty clear in Scripture that Jesus says that there's a time when He's coming back in the clouds, and then there's another time when He's coming back and He will set, according to Zechariah, He's going to set His foot on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split in two. So I believe that's two different events. So we don't believe the rapture of the church, which the word rapture is not mentioned, but it means the catching away. So there's a time when Jesus is going to come to the clouds, and there's going to be a trumpet. That's why a lot of Christians believe it will happen maybe on the Feast of Trumpets or around that time. But the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to come out of that grave. Now that bears a little bit of teaching, because Paul tells us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when we stand in a funeral, you can pat that old body all you want to and say, this is just the shell, the nut's really gone, right? He is in heaven to be with Jesus. That ain't nothing but the tent of flesh, right? And then we commit that tent of flesh into the grave, but that tent will turn and rot and go to ash. So whether it's in the sea or in the grave or cremated, it doesn't matter, folks, because that body is done with. But there's another, I love this stuff. There's another body, an incorruptible body, that's going to shoot out of that grave, and it's going to meet Christ. And we, which are alive, are going to drop this old shell of flesh, and we're going to meet the dead ones in the sky forever to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And He says, make sure that you count it worthy, that you're counted worthy to escape the things that are to come. Why? Because the things that are to come are not things that you and I want to go through. So that's why we believe that Jesus says, or I believe as Paul it says, that God has not... They're just leaving. It's all right. I'm preaching the Word of God up here, and two people are leaving. It's okay. We've seen people leave before. In Titus chapter 2, verse 12 through 13 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope. That's what we consider the rapture. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This is the greatest picture of the love of Christ and the mercy of God that you'll ever see. Because He tells us in the book of Revelation what things are to come. The things are to come is God pouring His wrath upon the earth. And Paul told us that God has not appointed us to wrath. That's why I believe that we won't be here for that day. Should it come that it happens differently than what I believe, then I believe God will protect us in that day. But I sure am hoping that I'm right, that God will get us out of here. Here is the part that I dislike about the way Christians perceive this message. It is not, I don't think we should have an attitude of escapism. Just get me out of Dodge. Can you imagine what it was like to live in 1945 when the Jews were being tortured and burned and 6 million Jews were killed horrifically? Don't you think that they possibly thought, He's got to be coming? You see, you cannot judge the coming of the Lord by how bad it is here. Israel is our time clock. You want to know about the coming of the Lord, first you just keep your eyes on Christ and walk as close to Him every day of your life. But second, you watch Israel. Because God loves His people. God has not divorced His people. We have not replaced Israel. We've been joined into the vine of Israel. It's what Scripture tells us. But one day, and we don't know where we're going to be. You don't know what you're going to be doing. I might be preaching to you. That'd be just all right with me. And should this happen while I'm preaching, Brother Courtney's going to finish my sermon. So, the trump is going to sound. And we are going to escape the judgment of God. And it's going to bring total chaos to this world. You think about the millions and millions of people that are alive, that are trusting Christ today with their life. They're going to be gone. This world's going to be moved into chaos. And there's going to arise a person that's going to seem to have all the wisdom that needs to put this world back together. And that person is the Antichrist. He's going to come on the scene and he's going to make great judgments. And he's going to seem to bring calm to chaos. He's going to seem to have all the answers. But at 3.5 years, in middle way, he's going to walk into the temple, which is going to be rebuilt. And he's going to say, I am God. And then hell is going to break loose on this earth. And that's when all the things that God holds in judgment is really going to be poured out. The first 3.5 years is not going to be a picnic, guys. It's going to be pretty rough. The last 3.5 years are going to be hell on earth. And the only way that people will get to heaven if they don't go in the rapture of the church is going to be to sacrifice their life, to be a martyr for Christ. And some people say, well, I'll just wait for that. I'll know now what to do. I'm going to tell you, if you can't live for Christ today, I can't imagine you living for Christ during that time. It would be hard for me, being a daddy at heart, if my kids were little and they said, if you want to buy some formula for your child, you need to take this mark. Other than that, you're going to watch your child starve to death. Buddy, that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard times and hard decisions to be made. So wisdom would say, you get it right with Christ today, and then you walk with Him and follow Him, and He will see us through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read this a lot at funerals. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. And a mystery was not something that was difficult to understand in Bible times. It was something that had not been revealed yet. So a lot of people, the rapture of the church was not believed until the 1860s. It's when the rapture of the church, this philosophy, this doctrine came on. And some people say, well, that proves in itself that it's not right. They just invented that, 150, 160 years ago. That's not true. Because the things of Revelation, the things of Daniel, the things of the end time had not been revealed until the last few decades. There's more understanding today on the end times than ever before. So don't let that shake you up. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're going to be changed. That's some of us may be alive at that moment. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That corruptible flesh won't come out of that grave, but an incorruptible. But we're going to know them. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Why? Because we're going to live forever. We're going to live with Christ forever. Amen. Just one more verse I want to talk to you about in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was a Jewish man, a prince of a man, a prophet, one of the most godly men that's probably ever stepped in on the scene. He lived his entire life in tribulation, not in a foreign country, under the dominion of another nation. And he was reading the book of Jeremiah, where he found out that this time that Judah and Jerusalem was going through was going to be 70 years, that God had revealed that to Jeremiah the prophet. And then God begins to give him a dream, of which really it's been probably the last 100 years that this has really been stirred up and awakened to the body of Christ. And so he talks of the 70 weeks. Each week is 7 years, and the 70th week is the week of tribulation. The 69 weeks have already been fulfilled up to the time of Christ, that he was crucified and rose again. So when the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. You get that? So sometimes this is called the age of the church. Sometimes it's called the age of the Gentiles. Oftentimes it's called the age of grace. But what happened is he prophesied these 69 weeks was going to happen, and they happened exactly like he said. So what we're interested in is that 70th week. It didn't happen all together. It's spaced out. Now we've gone 2,000 years away from the 69th week, waiting for the 70th week, and we're right here in the gap of which is undetermined. Because when they asked Jesus, when is he coming back? He said, I don't even know that. The angels don't know that. God himself knows that. Now I believe, now that he is on the throne, Jesus is on the throne, I think he probably knows. But at that time, because he was in the flesh, he didn't. This verse says, and after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, remember what I told you? In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolation or desolate, even until the consumption which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So what he is saying is exactly what I've just told you. The first 3.5 years is not going to be that bad. At the middle of the tribulation, the guy's going to come in, go into the temple and declare that he is God. And then he's got a problem. He is the Antichrist. And John says the spirit of the Antichrist is already with us. So I want you to know, here's what I'm wanting you to get. Peter says the end is at hand. I'm here to tell you today, it's really at hand. It could happen any moment. When Peter spoke that word to the church, there was a couple of things that we believe that still needed to be done. Today, it's done. Today, every T has been crossed and every I has been dotted. I'm telling you, Jesus could come back before this day is over. And so Peter gives us 5 things that we better take pretty serious. Right up to the time that trumpet sounds, what should we be doing? You know, in the Christian journey, we all start the same. Right? We come with a humble heart and we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart. We all start right there at the same place, the foot of the cross. Are you getting this? But he really cares how we end. We may all start the same, but we don't all end the same. Are you following me? I would really love a nod of the head, or not with your head sleeping. So he gives us 5 things that he says this is going to help you get home. First thing is be self-controlled and sober-minded, watchful in your prayers. Prayer communicates 3 things to me. Most people probably see it simply as one, a communication. But to me, it's communication with the chief. It's talking to the master. Number two is prayer is battle. But number three is prayer is relationship. You want to know how people fall in love and get married and have babies? They spend a lot of time communicating. And when you quit communicating, that marriage will start dying. And the same thing goes with us. You can serve Jesus for 50 years and you stop talking to Him, you're going to have a problem. And it will come on you much quicker than what you think. My pastor, when I was a kid, he told me this, and I never forgot it. He said, "You will be surprised when you get indifferent with Jesus what you will do." And the worst backsliders in the world are Pentecost. Why? Because we've been exposed to the fullness of God. And Satan is after you. So we need to talk to people that we love and enjoy, just like we talk to the Lord. But you better be developing your prayer life. John Piper said this. He said, "You cannot know what prayer is for until you know that life is war. Until you know that you're in a battle, then you'll know what prayer is all about." The Greek word for prayer is proshush. It means up close and personal. Prayer is intimate. I don't mean to get out of the way, but it's sort of like pillow talk. It's so intimate. You're talking to Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, He says, "If my people which are called by my name," that's us, "if they'll humble themselves and pray, seek my face," which is another way of praying, "and turn from their wicked ways." Wicked means twisted. You see, you listen to me for just a second, okay? You can be doing everything right and have a twisted mind. You can walk in pride and think, "Well, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do this and I don't do that," and you're sickening in the face of God because of the stinking pride. Now I'm preaching better than you're shouting, I'm going to tell you that. If my people, if the church will pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, He says, "Then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal their land." Amen. Lord, heal us. We are to pray continually. Treva read that verse in Psalms 34. We are to pray fervently. We are to pray in faith, not doubting. We are to pray the Word. If you pray the Word, you're praying the perfect will of God. We are to pray in the Spirit. We are to pray, right? We are to pray. I've never met a Christian yet that if I ask them, "Are you praying enough?" that they says, yeah, I'm doing really good there. No, you're not. Pray without ceasing is what Paul said. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus had a few things to say about that. And He said, "Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray to be heard. Don't use big words. You don't have to pray in the old King James for God to hear you. He understands good old redneck Tennessee language. He can hear you. He knows." He says, "But when you go into your closet, come into the secret place of God." Folks, all my life I thought the secret place was my closet. It is not. The secret place is God's closet. And you can tell when you move from your closet into His closet, you can tell in your spirit there's a fervency that starts rearing up in your life. And all of a sudden the meek, mild ladies that would never do anything undignified become very undignified. Right? Sweat, tears, and snot start coming out of all their orifices, right? Because they have moved into the closet of God. They know they're in His presence. He says, "Your Father knows what you have need of before you ever ask." When you go to the Lord, the first thing, when Jesus was teaching us, He says, "My Father." You need to realize there's got to be a relationship there. That's Daddy you're talking to. And when you talk to Daddy, you don't come in like, oh, here I am again. Come on, that's Dad. But we come in with a reverent spirit. "Hallowed be Thy name." Come on, church, would you wake up just a little bit? I'm telling you that a normal, everyday Joe like you and I can move into the presence of God, and you're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Buddy, that ought to excite you. I'm telling you, you can talk to Him, and He hears you. Hallowed be Thy name. Jesus, you know I've got a headache. You know I've got cancer. You know I can't meet my electric bill. You know my children are not living for You. He knows and He cares about everything you go through. But I don't think we talk about prayer nearly enough. How much He loves us. But He says this in Matthew 7. No, He says ask, but there's a place in Scripture, James, He says you have not because you don't ask. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus show me something that says this was all available to you, but you never asked me for it. You put $1,000 down on that table and say, Pastor, that's yours. I will snatch that out of your hand so fast. I ain't leaving it on the table. You get me? And prayer is the way we access it. Through faith, it's a gift of God, though you don't deserve anything. We got to quit coming to God thinking, well, God, You owe me. He doesn't owe you. We got to quit coming to God saying, well, Lord, I don't deserve it. You're right, You don't. There's lots of times I gave my kids stuff they don't deserve. Why? Because they're mine. And I loved them. Sometimes I might be thinking, you little snot. But I still tried to help them. James chapter 5. It's what this is all about. The prayer of faith. When you go to God, you got to go in faith. Believing that, number one, He hears you. Settle that. When you pray, you know God hears me. It doesn't matter what you feel. You got to divorce that. Well, I didn't feel that. I remember praying for a guy up here at this altar one time. Buddy, you know how I pray. And I'm just praying as hard as I could pray. And after I'm over, he looks at me and he says, I didn't feel nothing. I'm like, bam! You felt that, didn't you? You have no idea what goes through my mind. But thank God I don't act on everything. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Here's the part we don't talk about. And if he's committed any sins, they're going to be forgiven. Do you realize from one side or the other how many sins are forgiven today? Because someone stepped out of the pew in faith saying, pray for me, I have a need. He says that we should confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. I love this verse. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I know some of you, when I get to that part where it says the righteous man, you say, well, you just disqualified me, Pastor. No, I did not. There's not a person in this building that is righteous because of you. We are righteous because of Him. He gave us His righteousness, so we are righteous. 1 Timothy, the Holy Spirit writes through Timothy or through Paul through Timothy. He says, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Philippians 4:6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Christian, if you would turn to prayer when you're anxious instead of a pill bottle, I think God would honor that. I'm not telling you to get off all your medicine. You do what you feel is right. But it bothers me to see Christians so inundated with anxiety. God doesn't want that. God loves you. God wants you to walk in peace and hope. Full of hope with Him. So that's the first thing, and I'll speed up. Have a fervent love for one another, he says. So the way I looked at this, two of these five things are personal, and three are to be in the body of Christ. Three we are to exercise together, and this is not the body of Christ. This is such a minute part of the body of Christ. So when he is talking about the body of Christ, when he says have a fervent love for one another, he means the Presbyterians too. Those that we may disagree with. Come on now. We separate company over the smallest things. But when God looks at us, he don't see Baptist so-and-so. He sees son so-and-so, daughter so-and-so. See, it's us that are dividing the body of Christ. He says, have a fervent love for each other, for the Baptist and the Methodist and the Church of Christ and the Catholic. Have love for them. What is love? To me, love is one word, sacrifice. Will I sacrifice my desires for you? That's love to me. First, or John chapter 15, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, which is exactly what Christ did. Number three, he says, be hospitable to one another. And I wish he would have stopped, because I could do that. I can be hospitable. But he didn't stop with that. He said, be hospitable without grumbling. Oh my, get that knife out of my back. Would somebody help me? I don't know about you, but it's hard to make it through a day without grumbling. Some of you are looking at me, ooh, pastor. I'm just being honest. But I'm going to tell you something. Grumbling wears God out. You know, when he got mad at the children of Israel, it's when they were grumbling. Let me say it this way. I don't think you can grumble and walk in faith at the same time. And God wants us to walk in faith. See, if I walk in faith, I don't have anything to grumble about. And if I'm hospitable but I'm grumbling, then I'm not walking in true love. And he says, I think it's Romans 12:9, let love be sincere. Mm-mm-mm. Come on, church lady. You can't tell someone how much you love them and how pretty you look today. He goes, duh, I will. And then turn to someone and say, those shoes don't match. Are you getting me? There is so much stinking falsehood in the body of Christ, it's sickening to a pastor, not much less God. He said, let love be sincere. You ought to sincerely want to entertain each other. Johnny Brown and I have had this conversation many times. Church just doesn't fellowship with each other anymore. Used to be we fellowshipped a lot. Not here, talking about the old church a long time ago. Before we had 250 stations on TV. When we only got ABC, NBC, and once in a while CBS. We entertained each other more often. We ate with each other. Are you getting me? It's time to get back to it, folks. Amen. You ought to know who you go to church with. And you better love them. It's a command of God. You can't love somebody that you hate. That you're walking in unforgiveness to. I'm going to go one more step. I might as well insult you a little bit and slap you around. You got to love the person you divorced. You got to love the person that did you wrong. You say, pastor, I just don't know if I can do that. I get that. But with Christ, all things are possible. You get it? Don't try to do it on your own. I remember one time having to pray this prayer. Lord, I'm not willing to do that, but I'm willing to be made willing. And if you will just change my heart, make me willing to forgive that person. You know, that's all God needs. God will spring into action like Superman. And He will begin to change that old stinking heart of yours. And we all have things that we have just sort of buried in our hearts. And we probably need to say, Holy Spirit, you know, here's the scary part. Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. Buddy, that's sobering right there. So that's why I pray sometimes, Holy Ghost, am I holding on to unforgiveness? And He says, are you married? No. I sort of promised myself today that I was going to leave Treva alone. Blew it again. Number four, He says, use your giftings for God. And then He gives us two examples of the giftings that we have. He says, speaking and serving. There are gifted orators in the body of Christ, and they're not all pastors. Matter of fact, some pastors are not gifted at all. But if you are gifted in speaking, if you're gifted in serving, if you're whatever gifts God has placed in you, use them for the kingdom. And don't ever say, God left me out. Because He didn't. You may not be aware of what God has gifted you, but I promise you, God has gifted you. And He's saying, you need to figure this out because I want you to use it for the kingdom's sake. You know, there are some people that you just want greeting at the door. And they don't see it in themselves, but they're gifted. They're gifted at making people feel welcomed. They're gifted at just making people feel like for the first time when they walk in the door, oh, welcome home. We've been missing you. I can't do that. I'm not very good at that. I'm a bit awkward at that. I'm like, hey, my name's Eric. And then it's like my mind goes blank. I just sit there and smile. Got anything to say? No. But we ought to use them for Christ. If He put it in you, He wants to use it. And the fifth thing is, He says, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange when you go through some very difficult times. I love the honesty of the Word of God. I love the honesty of God. God does not try to hide it from us. You see, this last portion of Scripture goes totally contrary to the message that's being preached in the church today. You serve Jesus and all your problems go away. And if you send me $1,000, God's going to send you $1,000,000. And my address is 608. That ain't Scripture, guys. That's not gospel. The gospel is Jesus being honest with us. He said, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange when everybody turns their back on you because of your fellowship with me. Don't think it's strange when your neighbor gets mad at you because you told him about the love of God. Don't think it's strange when bad things happen to you. Let's read the rest of it. When you go through the fiery trials, and this is the part that doesn't make any sense, but rejoice. Oh, on your worst day, rejoice. You know why? Because you've been counted worthy to suffer with Christ. So that doesn't mean you've done something wrong and you're in trouble. What this means is you've done everything right and yet you're having some fiery trials. Just amazed. The more you get to know people, the more you see the difficulty of life. You know, I used to say, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I used to say I could smile at Treva from the other side of the room and she'd get pregnant. I mean, it just seemed like, it just seemed like that happened. And then our son, our oldest son, yeah, she is crawling below the pew at this point. But our oldest son, they have suffered for years not being able to have a child. I didn't go through that. I didn't know that pain until I watched my son go through it. I didn't know the pain of losing one when you're bearing a child. I didn't know the pain of going 9 months and then delivering a dead child. I don't know the pain of burying my spouse. Are you getting it? But the more I get to know believers, there's just very little that we don't suffer together. And all I know to do is just tell people, you just keep your eyes on Christ. I don't know how we get through this stuff, but I know He's faithful. I know He is faithful when I am faithless. I know He's faithful when I'm dirty and rotten and stinking and got ugly attitudes. I know He will not deny Himself. And He will get you through the trials of life. So therefore, when you go through the hardest day of your life, when it looks like all of hell has come against you, rejoice. Hallelujah! You're on my side. He's going to carry you through. Said the proper attitude in meeting adversity is to count it all joy. It's not an emotional reaction, but a deliberate, intelligent appraisal of a situation from God's perspective. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, we have fought some wars in this church at these altars. Every Saturday night, it just seems like when we come before the Lord, it's just a battle in prayer. We've watched so many people have cancer in this church, and I'm going to tell you, it tears me up. I don't like to see people suffer. But I know God is faithful. God is the healer. I have one more question I want to ask you. If that trumpet was to sound right now, do you know that you know that you know you're headed up? That old flesh is going to drop, but your spirit is going to be with the Lord. Do you know that? Are you confident of that? 1 John says that we can know. We can know. There should be a settled assurance in your spirit that we can say these words, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me? There are things that we have talked about today, such as your prayer life, not grumbling, walking in faith, all these things. Maybe one of them hits you to where you're saying, boy, I'm blowing that, Christ. I'm not doing very well. Today's an exciting day. You know what today is? It's a day you get to change. It's a day you get to repent. The repentance is always positive. It's a day that you can say, Jesus, forgive me, and then turn around and head in the opposite direction. But the one I want to focus on the most is I want to make sure that if you're here today and the sound of my voice, that you have a settled assurance when that trumpet sounds, you're going to be ready. I remember one time, a little lady that I love so much was at the Senior Citizen Center and played cards all day. And the center sat right here on this main street. She pulled out her car and come across Poplar Street, the main street, and a car T-boned her. She is gone like that. We don't know. She didn't make it to the rapture of the church, but she was raptured that day. Are you following me? We don't have the promise of tomorrow. But if you'll live every day like it's your last day, we have the promise of heaven. We have the assurance that when this body is done, you get to walk into a new body and be in the presence of the Lord forever. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? You're not confessing to me. So you know what? I think I'll just bow my head and close my eyes too. And I want you just to say, Jesus, if I need to settle some things today, and I'm coming before you and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, I want to be sure that I'm right with you. At that point, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Now, Scripture tells us that we need to tell somebody. So you do need to let someone know that you've accepted Christ in your heart if you do this. But I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for this precious people. And I thank you for the promise of heaven. And I thank you, Lord, that I believe that one of these days, very soon, there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound all over this world. And there's going to be bodies coming out of the grave and bodies leaving this earth to meet you in the sky, forever to be with the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, there's coming a time when Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And we're going to live where the Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. Father, that the child will be able to pet a scorpion and not be hurt. Father, I thank you, Lord, that exciting times are coming. But Lord, we're anxious today. And I want to make sure that people are ready to meet you. So Holy Spirit, work in our heart. And may every person leave peaceful today about their decision. That they're trusting you. That when the time comes, they'll walk with you. They'll walk from this side of glory to that side of glory. So, Father, deal with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come dismiss us?
He covered a lot of information this morning. We talked about rapture and the end times and that. So I realize that there's probably a lot of people that have more questions because of that. So if you do, if you would see Johnny Brown later, he will answer all of your questions because he is the smartest man in the room for sure. So, no, but don't forget Thursday at 6:30, our pastor speaking at Church of God of Prophecy, which is the big red church around the corner from us on 218. This gives us an opportunity to fellowship with other believers and to support our pastor who's speaking. So I encourage you to go. Wonderful people over there. It'll be a great time. That's Thursday at 6:30. So also, if you didn't get a bulletin on your way in, that's what they look like for July. Grab one on your way out because it has a calendar with all the things going on and everything. And for no particular reason whatsoever, I would like to draw your attention to the birthdays for July. No reason at all. But just know that they're there, okay? Anniversaries too, but birthdays are there, so take a gander at that. So if anything else, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.